Hey everyone, welcome back to Amber and Tyler's Dialogue, where we bring you smart, lively, and totally down-to-earth conversations about India's place in the world. I'm Amber Ellsworth, and as always, my co-host Tyler Ashcroft is right here with me.
Thanks, Amber. And you know, it's always exciting to talk about India's journey, but today's topic is one of those real milestone moments, even if it's not exactly breaking news. Still, it's a story that's absolutely worth revisiting, especially for anyone who wants to understand where the world is headed.
Absolutely, Tyler. I mean, over the past year, we've seen a lot of headlines about India's economy. But one of the most significant, and maybe a bit underappreciated in the wider world, was India officially overtaking Japan to become the world's fourth largest economy. Now, for those who might not remember exactly when this happened, it's important to note that this shift actually took place a little while back, but its impact is still unfolding today.
Right. And honestly, that's what makes it so fascinating. This isn't just about a country moving up a spot on some global rankings chart. It's about what this means for India's role on the world stage, for global markets, for investors, and for all of us watching the global economy evolve.
Exactly. Here's a fact that still catches people off guard. In just the past decade or so, India's economy has more than doubled in size. That's not just impressive, it's transformative. And it sets the stage for everything we'll be talking about today.
So what's next for global markets with this new economic heavyweight in the mix? How did India pull this off? And what does it mean for the rest of the world? These are the questions we're going to dig into.
Before we go any further, we want to remind you that you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and support us on Patreon. Just check the description for all the links. We love hearing from you, so drop us a comment or join the conversation.
Absolutely. And if you're enjoying the show, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and share it with a friend. The more voices in the conversation, the better. So Amber, now that we've set the stage, let's really dig into how India got here. I mean, to go from a relatively closed economy, you know, just a few decades ago, to becoming the fourth largest economy in the world, that's a journey worth telling.
Definitely, Tyler. And honestly, it's a story that starts way back. You have to remember, for a long time, India was seen as this giant with untapped potential, a sleeping tiger, if you will. But the big turning point, most people agree, was the early 1990s.
Right. That's when India really started opening up its economy. I mean, before that, things were pretty tightly controlled. Licenses for everything, high tariffs, not a lot of foreign investment. But then came the reforms.
Exactly. The government at the time, led by then Finance Minister Manmohan Singh, pushed through some pretty radical changes. They started dismantling the so-called license Raj, which had held back businesses for decades. Suddenly, it was easier to start a company, to import and export goods, and to attract foreign investment.
And, you know, that's when things really started to pick up. The economy began to grow faster, and new industries started to emerge. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. There were setbacks, right? The Asian financial crisis in the late 90s, the global financial meltdown in 2008, and of course, the pandemic a few years ago.
Absolutely. But what's really remarkable is how India managed to weather all those storms and keep moving forward. I mean, think about it. Through all those ups and downs, India's economy just kept growing. And not just by a little, but by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, and here's a fact that still blows my mind. If you look at the last 30 years, India's economy has grown more than tenfold. That's not just impressive, it's almost unprecedented for a country of this size.
And it's not just about the big numbers. It's about what's happening on the ground. You've got this huge young population. More than half of India is under 30. That's a massive workforce, and it's one of the main reasons why so many companies around the world are looking at India right now.
Right. And honestly, it's not just about cheap labor anymore. India has become a global hub for technology, for pharmaceuticals, for services. You've got Indian companies and entrepreneurs making waves all over the world.
And let's not forget the digital revolution. I mean, in the last decade alone, India's gone from being a country with low internet penetration to having one of the largest online populations on the planet. That's changed everything, from how people shop, to how they bank, to how they access government services.
So, Amber, with all this in mind, what does it actually mean for India to overtake Japan? I mean, Japan's been a global economic powerhouse for decades. For India to pass them is a pretty big deal.
It really is. Japan's economy has been, well, kind of stuck in neutral for a while now. Slow growth, aging population, not a lot of new innovation. India, on the other hand, is bursting with energy, with new ideas, with a hunger to move up the value chain.
And that's why, for global markets, This is such a big shift. You've got this new player on the block with the potential to reshape everything from supply chains to consumer markets to technology.
So Tyler, before we move on, let's just take a moment to appreciate how far India has come. From a closed, struggling economy to the fourth largest in the world. That's a story worth celebrating.
Absolutely. And you know, for anyone listening who's interested in the global economy, this is a story you'll want to keep watching. And hey, if you're enjoying the conversation, don't forget to share the episode or leave us a comment. Links are in the description.
All right. Next up, we're going to dive even deeper into what's fueling India's rise. So stay tuned. All right, Tyler, now that we've set the scene, let's really get into the nitty-gritty of what's fueling India's rise. I mean, it's one thing to say India's become the world's fourth largest economy, but how did it actually happen? And what does this mean for the world?
Yeah, Amber, I think the first thing that jumps out is just how many different factors are at play here. It's not just one thing. It's this whole ecosystem of changes, you know, from policy to people to technology. So where do you want to start?
Well, let's talk about demographics, because honestly, that's where India has a real edge. We mentioned earlier that more than half of India's population is under 30. That's not just a statistic, it's a game changer. You've got this massive young workforce that's hungry for opportunity. And that's something most other big economies just don't have.
Right, and that's not all. India's not just young, it's also incredibly diverse. You've got people from all kinds of backgrounds, speaking hundreds of languages, bringing all sorts of ideas to the table. That diversity is a huge asset, especially in a globalized world where innovation is king.
Absolutely. And then there's the digital revolution. I mean, 10 years ago, most people in India didn't even have a smartphone. Now India has one of the largest internet user bases in the world. That's opened up all kinds of opportunities, from e-commerce to fintech to online education.
And, you know, the government's played a big role in that. Initiatives like Digital India and Aadhaar, which, by the way, is one of the world's largest digital identity programs, have really helped bring millions of people into the digital economy.
Yeah, and let's not forget about policy reforms. Over the past decade, India's made it easier to do business, streamlined taxes with the GST, and opened up more sectors to foreign investment. These changes have made India a much more attractive place for companies looking to set up shop.
And that's led to some pretty big shifts in global supply chains. You know, as companies look to diversify away from China, India's become a top destination for manufacturing, especially in sectors like electronics, pharmaceuticals, and even electric vehicles.
Right. And here's a fact that might surprise some listeners. India is now the world's second largest producer of mobile phones. That's a huge leap from where it was just a few years ago. And it's not just about making stuff. India's also becoming a global hub for services, especially in IT and business process outsourcing.
Yeah, and that's another thing that sets India apart. You've got this unique combination of a strong manufacturing base and a world-class services sector. That's something very few countries can match.
So Tyler, let's talk about how India compares to the other big economies. The US, China, Germany, and of course, Japan. I mean, India's still got a long way to go in terms of per capita income, but in terms of sheer size and potential, it's right up there.
Exactly. The US and China are still way ahead in terms of total GDP, but India's growth rate is much higher. And if it keeps up this pace, it could overtake Germany and maybe even Japan in the not too distant future.
And let's not forget about domestic consumption. India's middle class is growing fast. And that means more people are buying everything from cars to smartphones to air conditioners. That's a huge driver of growth, and it's something that sets India apart from countries that rely more on exports.
Right, and here's another thing that's often overlooked. India's startup scene. I mean, the country now has over 100 unicorns, startups valued at over $1 billion. That's more than most countries, and it shows just how much innovation is happening on the ground.
Absolutely, and you know, all of this is happening at a time when the world is facing all kinds of challenges, from climate change to geopolitical tensions to economic uncertainty. But India seems to be navigating these challenges pretty well, at least so far.
Yeah, and that's why I think India's rise is so important for the rest of the world. You've got this country that's not just growing fast, but also becoming a key player in global supply chains, in technology, in innovation. That's going to have a big impact on everything from trade to investment to geopolitics.
So before we wrap up this section, let's just recap. India's rise is being driven by a young, dynamic workforce, a digital revolution, smart policy reforms, and a growing domestic market. And all of this is happening at a time when the world really needs new sources of growth.
And you know, if you're enjoying this deep dive, don't forget to share the episode or leave us a comment. Links are in the description. We love hearing from you.
All right, next up, we'll talk about what all this means for global markets and what the future might hold. Stay tuned.
All right, Amber, we've taken a deep dive into how India's become the world's fourth largest economy. Now let's talk about what this actually means for global markets, for investors, and honestly, for anyone who cares about where the world's headed.
Absolutely, Tyler. I mean, this isn't just about India. It's about how the whole global economic map is changing. So where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the big picture. With India moving up the rankings, global markets are having to pay attention in a whole new way. You know, for years, the US, China, and Europe have been the main focus. But now India's right there in the mix, and that's shifting the balance.
Right. And here's a fact that might surprise some listeners. Over the past 5 years, foreign direct investment into India has more than doubled. That's a huge vote of confidence from global investors. And it's a sign that India is not just growing. It's seen as a stable, attractive place to put your money.
Yeah, and that's not just about big multinationals. You've got venture capital firms, tech investors, even pension funds, all looking at India as a key part of their global portfolios. And honestly, that's a big deal because it means more jobs, more innovation, and more opportunities for people in India.
But it's not all smooth sailing, right? There are still plenty of challenges. For one thing, India's per capita income is still much lower than most other major economies. So while the country is getting bigger, the average person isn't necessarily living a lot better, at least not yet.
Exactly. And then there's the question of infrastructure. India's made huge strides, but there's still a lot of work to be done. Better roads, more reliable power, cleaner air. These are the kinds of things that can make or break long-term growth.
And let's not forget about global uncertainties. You've got everything from trade tensions to climate change to geopolitical shifts. All of this could affect India's growth, and investors are definitely keeping an eye on it.
But here's the thing. Despite all these challenges, India's story is still overwhelmingly positive. The country's got this incredible momentum, and it's becoming a key player in some of the most important industries of the future, like renewable energy, artificial intelligence, and biotechnology.
Right, and that's why I think India's rise is so important for the rest of the world. You know, for decades, the global economy has been dominated by a handful of countries. But now, with India in the mix, we're seeing a more multipolar world, one where power and influence are more spread out.
And that's good news for everyone, honestly. More competition means more innovation, more choice, and hopefully more prosperity for people around the world.
So, what does this mean for investors? Well, if you're looking for growth, India's definitely a place to watch. But it's also important to be realistic. There are risks, and not every investment will pay off. But for those who are willing to take the long view, the opportunities are huge.
And for multinational companies, India's becoming a must-have market. You've got this massive young population that's hungry for new products and services. That's why you're seeing everyone from Apple to Tesla to Walmart doubling down on their India strategies.
Right, and it's not just about selling stuff. India's also becoming a key hub for research and development, for manufacturing, and for talent. That's why so many companies are setting up innovation centers and hiring top talent from Indian universities.
And let's talk about the impact on everyday people. For Indians, this growth means more jobs, better wages, and more opportunities to build a better life. And for people around the world, it means more choices, lower prices, and access to new technologies.
But it's also important to remember that growth isn't always evenly distributed. There are still millions of people in India who are struggling to make ends meet. So, while the overall picture is positive, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's so important to keep an eye on how India manages this next phase of growth. If the country can keep up the momentum, address its challenges, and make sure that growth benefits everyone, then the sky's the limit.
So, before we wrap up this section, let's just say, India's rise is a big deal for global markets, for investors, and for people around the world. It's a story that's still unfolding, and one that we'll all be watching for years to come.
And hey, if you're enjoying this conversation, don't forget to share the episode or leave us a comment. Links are in the description. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
All right, next up, we'll bring it all together with some closing thoughts. Stay tuned. Well, Tyler, we've covered a lot of ground today, from India's remarkable economic journey to the forces behind its rise to what this means for the world. Honestly, it's been a fascinating conversation.
Absolutely, Amber. I mean, when you step back and look at the big picture, it's clear that India is not just another emerging market. It's a global powerhouse in the making. And that's something everyone should be paying attention to.
Yeah, and one thing that really stands out to me is just how much potential there still is. India's already the fourth largest economy, but it's still early days. With its young, ambitious population, its digital transformation, and its growing role in global supply chains, the best may be yet to come.
Right. And, you know, it's not just about the numbers or the rankings. It's about the real impact on people's lives. More jobs, more opportunities, and a stronger voice on the world stage. That's what makes this story so compelling.
At the same time, we have to be realistic. There are challenges ahead. Infrastructure, inequality, global uncertainties. But if India can keep up the momentum and address these issues, there's no telling how far it can go.
Exactly. And for anyone listening who's interested in global markets, in innovation, or in the future of the world economy, India's journey is one you'll want to keep watching. It's a story that's going to shape the next few decades.
So Tyler, before we wrap up, any final thoughts?
Well, I'd just say thank you for joining us on this journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, or leave us a comment. We're always looking to grow our community and hear your perspectives.
Absolutely. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and support us on Patreon. All the links are in the description. We love hearing from you, and we're excited to keep the conversation going.
And remember, the world is changing fast. India's rise is just one part of the story, but it's a big one. So stay curious, stay engaged, and let's keep exploring together.
Thanks for tuning in to Amber and Tyler's dialogue. Until next time, take care and keep the dialogue alive.